Good morning. Glad to see everybody out. A little wet outside, but almost like spring-like at the same time, so enjoy it while we can. Good to have visitors. We invite you back every opportunity you have to come worship with us and to study God's Word. If you've got questions, we'll try to answer them to the best of our ability. Also, the fact that there are cards back there above a little box. If you have any idea for a lesson you'd like to hear taught, please write it down. One of the men will try to do a sermon on it. And that's what I'm going to do this morning. One was given to me a few weeks ago, and I scratched my head and looked at it and trying to figure out how I want to go about this, and hopefully come out with something. So the words included like 15 words. I doubt if we'll get through all of them. So I'll go as far as I can, and that's it. And then maybe continue on some other time, Lord willing. I was given a list of words they didn't like. Now, there's a lot of words that I don't like in my everyday life, and I don't like to hear them. And I like to tell people and let them know, stop. Try to put it into it. Be careful what you say, how you say it. And sometimes I wonder, in this list that was given to me, why are the words not liked? Because they're included in the scriptures. And I'm trying to figure out how to go about this, because maybe it condemns our soul, and we don't want to hear it, we don't like it. Or maybe we want to do things that we'd like and not get in trouble with God. This I can't figure out. But we'll talk about the words and see if it applies to us today as Christians. And we got to apply it to ourselves. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verses 2 and 3, it said, "Preach your word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers, having itching ears." And we see that it's come along throughout time as the church has been established. There's been false teaching going on. People like to hear what they like to do. There are things that we try to preach upon that try to straighten up our lives. A lot of people don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear all them words, especially when you're talking about reprove, rebuke, and exhort with long-suffering and doctrine. People don't like to hear the truth all the time. They claim they do, but they don't always. And this is one thing we're going to discuss here. Talk about the first word, fool. Now, we all know Mr. T, and he goes, "I pity the fool." And so, again, that might be a word that, yeah, if it's applied to me, I may not like it. Because it's saying that I'm crazy, I'm stupid, or lack of understanding, and I don't like that being used for me. But, you know, in the scriptures, it talks about fools. And they're there. They're out there. And the scriptures talks about it. As we've been studying the book of Proverbs on Wednesday in the evening, go to verse 21 and 22. "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge." Now, how many times have you seen in school as you're growing up, somebody didn't really study their homework or did their homework, and I sat beside one that he just loved to draw pictures, never paid attention to the class or anything. He wondered why he's getting D's and F's and things in that order. Well, you're not trying to retain the knowledge that was being taught that time. And we need to realize that we are to retain knowledge. We are to strive for it. And God looks at us when we don't like knowledge as being a fool. Proverbs 15 chapter, in verses 14, 15, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of the fools feedeth upon foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that hath merry heart hath continued peace. Again, we have people today that has no common sense today. We look at our government and some of the people that runs the makes up the laws and things, and we sit back and what are they thinking? How are they accepting these things? They can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. Everybody knew that since the time of birth. But you have those, they can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. So they got all these other type of genders that they come up with. I think Eric, me and Eric, we was down in Wheeling a few years ago. We talked to a school teacher, and I think she said there's 57 genders at the time, and she said they're still adding. And I was like, I can only come up with two. Where's the other 55 or more? What, talking about somebody got an eye in the center of their forehead, is that a different gender? I don't know. But these are fools. They believe in these things. 18th chapter and verse 2 of Proverbs. A fool has no delight in understanding, but his heart may discover itself. The fact that there are individuals that don't like to understand or learn. And once in a while, I get a statement out on the farm that this must be your first day out here. Because I've done something stupid. And I said, okay, I'll swallow that one. But the fact is, we do sometimes foolish things in our life. And we sit back and we don't understand what it leads to. We got young people getting on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, all these other ones, and do things and wonder why people got the opinion they have of them. And because they showed what they're like. And they put pictures on there that they shouldn't. Also in Proverbs, the 20th chapter, verse 3, is an honor for a man to cease from strife, or every fool will be meddling. Last couple of days down in Wheeling, went through one section of town and seen about 15 guys getting together. And I thought, I wonder what they're up to. And I haven't heard anything more about it. But also, as I drove past Smith Fall, I seen two guys out there fighting in the parking lot. And I was like, really? You're that dumb to stand here in front of everybody and get into a fist fight about whatever? Could be something really stupid. But these individuals, they like to meddle in. They like to involve themselves in it. And so that's a foolish thing for us to do. And an honored man will cease to try to have strife. We'll try to find peace, a way to avoid getting into an action that should be not. Luke 11th chapter, verses 39 through 40. The Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees, make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? Now imagine, you're cooking food, and after you got your dinner ready and done, you take that pot and you clean the outside, and that's it. You didn't clean the inside. That's the way we are. And that's what Jesus is trying to bring to the Pharisees, the idea. Yeah, you clean the outside, you make it look like you're doing God's will, but inside, it's filthy, it's dirty. You need to clean it up. You need to purify that inside. You need to clean that pot that I was talking about as you cooked in it. You need to clean the inside out of it because you get food poisoning or whatever from doing that, leaving it there and not cleaning. So again, we as individuals, we need to make sure our mind is pure and right before God. As read in Romans, the first chapter, verses 20 through 32 by Brother Harold, the fact that these things round about us, and we talked about it this morning in Bible study, the creation round about us shows to us the power and strength God has. He can read our minds. He can read our attitude. He can read what we're planning or thinking about doing before we even know what we're going to actually be doing. That should be scary. But you have people outside in the world that think themselves as being so wise, and look at the things that they've gotten themselves involved in, not only here within our country, but around the world. And look at the mess that we have going on within our country or others at this time. Everything's in chaos. Everything's in ruins. Destroying things of the past that we should be learning from so we don't make the same mistakes. But people don't think about that. I know all this. I don't need to be involved in this. So, baloney on it. That's it. Do away with it. I don't need to know all this stuff. That happened in the past. Well, guess what? We repeat it. We're acting like the Roman Empire. If you study the Roman Empire a little bit and find out what they evolved themselves in before they totally collapsed, you see us taking steps by step the same condition that they had at that point. Another word that people don't like is hate. I hate this, I hate that. Yeah, there's a few things I don't like. Certain vegetables I don't like. Somebody can testify to that. And there are others, type of food that I just have no desire to eat. I'm not like Dwight when he eats locusts. I'll leave that out of my diet plan. But there are other things that I do eat maybe somebody else don't like. But I don't hate it. Everything's got a benefit to it. And that's something that we fail to realize, that somebody says, well, I hate this individual. Think about what you just said. Do you hate them, or do you hate what they do? There's a difference. Because they got a soul. And we as Christians need to realize they have a soul. And it needs to be saved. It needs to be taught how to correct themselves in their lives on a daily basis. But you don't hate the individual. You hate what they do and how they act. And John, the third chapter, verses 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Also in John, the 15th chapter, verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hateth you. They dislike me for what I stand for. They dislike how we act or how we live. And sometimes that can turn into hatred. And we are not to be that way. We're to love our enemies. We're to pray for them. We're to help them in their time of need. That's a Christian. But for us to stand there and say, I hate, I can't get along with somebody, that's wrong. We need to question ourselves and our thoughts and our opinions at that time and realize we are to love all souls. We're to care for them. We should be concerned for them. We should spread ourselves out in trying to get them to realize the condition before it's too late as Christ is about to come back and do something before it's too late for their soul. But also the fact that, yes, the world is going to hate us. They're going to persecute us. We're going to, some countries put Christians to death. But you still pray for them. That's hard. We've got to do away with the word hate. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 10 through 12, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endure, but out of them all the Lord deliver me. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Paul warned us that we will suffer persecution because we love God, because we're trying to do His will. We're trying to carry out what He commanded us to do at the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go out and teach every living creature. Teach all mankind to be baptized and believe in God and all the other things we need to learn as we grow within the church. This is something that we need to realize. And again, some of these words that we're talking about here, they kind of tie in with each other to some degree. The other next word was brought up was evil. Evil is kind of hard to explain, in a sense. It's anything contrary to God. God gave us a set of rules. You do anything other besides that, it's evil. Think about it. Some people don't believe evil people exist. In Psalms, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 1, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasted of his own desire. Blessed the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As in all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing, deceit, and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the village. The secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privately set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God has forgotten, he's hidden his faith, he will never see it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principality, against the powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We got to realize there are people that carry out against God's will. Yes, they are evil. But sometimes they can be corrected. I'm not saying all. There was one called Pharaoh that had the Jewish people imprisoned down in Egypt at one point. He didn't want to let Israelites go. And every time he said, yeah, I'll let you go. And then the next day, no, you're not going anywhere. He did that. Went through 10 plagues. And then after the 10th plague, he said, get out of here. I don't want you around. don't come back. But as they went out into the wilderness, what did he do? Gathered up his forces and chased after him. He's an evil man. He wouldn't change. But sometimes an evil man can change. I've heard that, I think Daubner, that one that used to eat people, was thrown in prison. And somebody, I think from the Church of Christ, worked with him and talked with him. And he changed and repented of the things he'd done before he passed away. People can change. But we got to work with them. Yeah, they can be what we consider evil and don't want to be around near them. But there are others that can be taught. And we need to apply ourselves into them. Mark the 6th chapter. Mark the 7th chapter, excuse me. Verses 20 through 23. And he saith, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth a man. For within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murder, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blaspheming, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. These are things that we need to get out of our heart. What's our heart? To a Christian, we're talking about the mind. We need to get those thoughts out of our mind. And it don't happen completely overnight. It takes time. Those who have drank most of their lives or have taken drugs most of their life, they have problems. Those who smoke cigarettes, it's difficult. And it takes time for them to get that mindset out of their feelings, their mind, to overcome those temptations. And we need to be there for them. We need to work with them. And we need to realize they're not quite evil as Satan is, but the fact is that we need to understand and do God's will to the best of our ability. Psalms 97, verse 10. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hands of the wicked. Also in 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica, Crescent to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. So, again, there's one that left Paul because he loved this world. He didn't clear his mind. He didn't get rid of the evil that was in his thoughts at this time. And we need to avoid those things. Next word is betray. Well, what do we mean by betray? When we think in history, who do we think of most of the time that betrayed? Besides Judas. There's one within this country that betrayed the government back in the colony these days. Look it up. Pardon? Benedict Arnold. And he betrayed the country. And we got some people today that betrays the country. We have those that goes overseas and sells information to other countries that's supposed to be secrets over here. But when we talk about betrayal, we've got to realize we can betray God. Turn to Matthew, the 27th chapter, and verses 3 and 4. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought about again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. They didn't care. But you just finally realize what he did. He realized he betrayed Christ, an innocent person, to death. It woke him up. But the bad part about it, instead of repentance, he went out and hung himself. There are things that we do that betrays Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. What we do? Sometimes we deny God's word. We betray him. Instead of doing everything in accordance to the way God has set forth, we turn our back. Oh, I don't like that. So I'm not going to listen to that. So I'm going to do what I want to do. You're betraying Christ. And that's something we fail to realize within our daily lives, that anytime we do anything and contrary to God's word, we are betraying Christ. We turn our back on him. Anytime we got the opportunity to do good, if we don't do it, we betray Christ. Romans, excuse me. Got all my scribbles up here. Romans, the third chapter, verses 10 through 19. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They have all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and miseries are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that under the law. But every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. There are those of us that realize we're not righteous. No, not one. We sing that song once in a while. No, not one. What do? We repent of our sins, don't we? Those of us that are Christians. We try to make it right before God and go to him in prayer and ask him to forgive us. Because we know we're not righteous. We know that we're not perfect. So the understanding is, we do betray Christ once in a while through our sins. Do we understand that? Book of Hebrews talked about how we've put Christ back to death again. And those who were Christians and left and went their own way, that's what they done. They crucified Christ again. They betrayed him. They're just as bad as Judas was when he betrayed Christ that day. Next word we want to see, shun. Avoid. How many times have we been told to shun away from certain things? I think I used the example when they went to electric power down Banner and they had the control boxes there and it's all electronic and electrical. They told us not to touch this one red button. Shun it. Avoid it. Because once we get shut down by somebody pressing that button, they said they could never get it started again. You know how many times we walked by that and went, I want to see how true that is. and you're tempted to, like, nah, just in case. So you leave it alone. You shun that button. And there are things within our lives that we need to learn that we need to shun away from. we need to avoid. Romans 16, chapter verse 17, talks about, "Now I beseech you, brother, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. We shun from those who teach false teaching." We work with them. We try to teach them the truth and try to get them to understand what God's word has to say. But after so long, you got to avoid them. There's one on Facebook that's been being discussed with by different individuals that are Christians, trying to get him to understand certain things. I just got to the point that I had to unfollow him because some of the beliefs were getting way out there. And it's a shame that was happening. And we hate to do that. And there were others that just, after working with him for months, just, I can't do it anymore. And they unfollowed him too. And that's a shame that that has to happen. But we do have to shun certain individuals. We shun those that are going to cause us to sin in this world. And we got to understand that likewise. In 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 9 through 13, says, "I wrote unto you in the epistles not to keep companies with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or the extortioner, or with idolaters, for them must ye need go out of the world. But now I have written it to you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, idolater, a railer, a drunkard, or a extortioner, with such a one no not eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are out, that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." We are to avoid certain individuals, especially when we go to discipline somebody. No, not to eat with them. That's hard, especially when it's a family member involved. But we've got to do what God said to do. He said not to do this. We are not to do this. Now, they want to sit down and discuss scriptures? Fine. They can come in my home. I can meet them someplace else and try to sit there and try to help straighten up their lives. Get them to repent and come back to God. But just associate and act like nothing happened? And according to God's word, you can't do that. And this is what he's talking about, the one that married his father's wife in this chapter. And we going to have to give an answer for it one of these days for what we say and do. Titus, the 3rd chapter, and verses 9 through 11. "But avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." We talked to the Mormons, and the first thing they'll bring up is, "Well, can you show us the genealogy of the Church of Christ? Never ending. Because we believe the church ended. That they were done away with." And so I don't have time to stand here and follow everything back to the 33 AD. That'd take me years to try to follow every congregation and see which one died out and which one has been maybe started somewhere else and has populated and grew and maybe spread somewhere else. That's a pretty good task. Think about it. Talk about genealogies of your family. You can stand there and you try to trace it back and forth. I imagine that's a job and a half, trying to figure out where everybody is and the history of it. But they'll ask you to do that. We need to avoid that. And like I say, there's easy questions you can ask them to just put them back in their place. Okay? Church died out. No more Church of Christ anymore. And now they're coming back, I guess. And so you're telling me that man is more powerful than God because he had to set out another set of apostles to try to spread his word because his church died. It's gone. Wiped off completely around the face of this world. I don't believe that. Because God said, gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It'll never stop. It'll never die. But that's what they believe. And I've tried talking to them, and we finally gave up on each other. But the fact is, they're teaching false doctrine. And anybody else that teaches false doctrine, we need to get them to understand and to avoid. Depart. Depart from me. Used a good bit within the scriptures. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 10, verses 11 through 15. And whosoever, into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into the house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear his words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it be more tolerable in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, in the day of judgment, than for that city. Again, we are warned. We are to depart from those who will not receive God's word. Depart from them. Work with them for so long, then you have to just leave. Depart. Go somewhere else. And that's what he told his disciples to do at this time. And at that time, if you took the shoe and you shook the dust off, that's denying that city at that point. Or them, the ones that you're talking to. It's a disgrace. There are other things that we can say. There are going to be those that do good works. We can talk about denominations and some of the good works they do and helping those who are in time of need. And with the tornadoes that hit down in Tennessee at this time, they're all gathering stuff up and try to go down and help them people. But God's going to say, workers of iniquity, depart from me. I don't know you. Why? Because they don't do the will of God. They're not obedient to his commandments. And there are other chapters and verses that we can read that talks about being departed from. Can you imagine? At the judgment day, God walks up, or I walk up to him. He said, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Depart from me, I don't know you. And maybe all the things we've done within the body of Christ, and of course of his will, maybe we're condemned for something we don't realize we've done. That's why we need to study. That's why we need to find ourselves approved before God. And there are other words that we can talk about. Time's running out, so I'll move on. Discourage. Sometimes we do get discouraged within our work and the work that we do. Psalms 147, verses 1 through 12. Romans 8, chapter, verses 23 through 30. We can read those verses. It talks about how everything is for the good of those who are obedient to God's will. We will fail. I don't know anybody hasn't failed at one point or another. If you're teaching somebody and they don't become a Christian or become obedient somewhere along the line, we fail. But that's not on us. That's them, because they refuse to open up their heart and become obedient to God's will. Joshua, the first chapter, verses 6-9, he was told, I'll be there with you at all times. I'll give you the strength you need. And we need to understand that when we go out and teach, God gives us strength, the ability to do his will, if we trust and depend upon him as Joshua did at that time. Also, the fact that we doubt. We do doubt once in a while, don't we? I've talked to people who said they offer up a prayer to God, and then the next thing you hear out of their word is, I don't see any benefit, because it's not going to help. Nothing's going to change. Why? We know God is strong. He can do anything. And the fact that when we stand there and we doubt, we're really saying, God, I don't believe you got the power to heal somebody. I don't believe you got the ability to have somebody overcome their sickness or their ailment. I've known people that was given up for death because of cancer or something, and they got healthy. Unknown. Can't explain it. I can't explain it either, except prayers. Prayers are righteous souls. Think about Elijah. Prayed for no rain for 3 years and 6 months. Only took one individual to pray that. God heard his prayers. Did Elijah say, God, I'm going to ask this. I know you can't do this. I don't want to see any rain for so many years. So I pray again. And then when he prayed again, asked for the rain, it started again. We pray. We need to rely upon God. There should be no doubt what God can do for us. War. We are in a spiritual warfare at this time, and we need to wear the armor of God at all times. And also, the fact that in the scriptures, the other word that was brought up to me was condemned. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if you're not doing God's will, you will be condemned. That's according to the scriptures, not what I think. Not what I'm saying. I'm not passing judgment. I'm just reading to you what God's word has to say. 1 Corinthians 11:32, Titus 3:11, Romans 1:18-32, Mark 16:16. If you not believe and baptize and do God's will throughout your life, you are condemned. You have hell waiting for you. And lastly, sin. Now, going through this quickly, but the fact is, we all sin. 1 Corinthians 10:32, Romans 3:23, we all come short of the glory of God. We're sinners. Make it right. Galatians 5th chapter, verses 19 through 21, talks about the different type of sins we get involved in. 1 John 1:8-10 tells us the fact that if we want to say that we don't sin, you made God a liar. Now, I'm asking you this morning, as I say, the last 4 or 5 words went through real quick. But the fact is, the other words I've used in this lesson tells us the fact we will be departed. We will be shunned by God if we don't do his will. And we're thinking about you and your soul today. If you're not a Christian, you must hear his word, believe that Christ came, lived, and died upon the cross, resurrected upon the first day of the week. The fact that we confess, by mouth confession, that he is the Son of God. repent of our lives, repent of our sins, be willing to stop living for myself, live for God. Because if we don't, when we become what we think we're Christian, he will shun us. He will tell us to depart. Baptized by immersion. Live a faithful life until death. Romans 2 and verse 10. Maybe one here this morning has done these things, but have fallen away from God, not trying to do their best as they should. We plead with you to do something before it's terribly too late. And we go to God in prayer. Ask him to be with you and us to help encourage you to do what's right at all times. It's your soul. It's your destiny. You do not want that word depart from me, said at the judgment day. So do something about it before it's terribly too late as we stand and sing the song, Invitation.